Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Elizabeth D. Lunnard presents Benjamin Franklin Butler, A Noisy, Fearless Life as a scholarly but readable biography of one of the most divisive public figures of the Civil War and Reconstruction era. Butler was a Massachusetts lawyer, Union general, congressman, governor, party switcher, and reform advocate whose reputation has long been shaped by hostile caricature, especially from white Southern critics of his wartime rule in New Orleans. Lunnard does not treat him as a flawless hero. Instead, she reconstructs a public life marked by ambition, combativeness, legal ingenuity, and a persistent sympathy for people with limited power, including workers, formerly enslaved people, and women seeking political rights. The book belongs to the Civil War America series and aims to revise a simplified historical memory. Its central purpose is to show how Butler combined personality, politics, military authority, and reform commitments in ways that made him both abrasive and consequential. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a reassessment of Butler beyond the Beast caricature. Lunnard places Butler at the center of a problem common in Civil War memory. A figure can become so burdened by labels that the historical person nearly disappears. Butler was called names such as Beast because of his uncompromising administration of occupied New Orleans and his hostility toward Confederate elites. Lunnard does not deny that he could be abrasive, self-promoting, and politically calculating. The point is that those traits do not exhaust his significance. By reconstructing the full arc of his life, she asks readers to distinguish between reputation created by enemies and evidence drawn from political action, legal advocacy, and wartime decision-making. This approach matters because Butler was especially hated by people invested in slavery, secession, and post-war racial hierarchy. A biography that merely repeats that hostility would preserve the judgments of his opponents. Lunnard instead treats Butler as a complicated reformer whose flaws coexisted with serious commitments to social change. The resulting portrait is not a rehabilitation by denial, but a reassessment by context. Secondly, working-class Lowell as the source of Butler reform politics, the book emphasizes that Butler did not emerge from social privilege. His early life in New England, especially his connection to Lowell, Massachusetts, shaped the political instincts that later made him unusually receptive to labor and poverty issues. Lunnard links his legal career to his defense of workers, including millwomen, showing that his reform politics were not simply a Civil War conversion. His sympathy for those excluded from elite power developed before he became a national figure. This background helps explain why Butler could seem inconsistent in party affiliation while remaining comparatively consistent in social orientation. He moved across Democratic, Republican, and other political alignments, but Lunnard presents those shifts as partly rooted in tactical calculation around causes rather than only personal opportunism. His legal training also mattered. He learned to convert moral claims into arguments about rights, property, authority, and public responsibility. That habit later shaped his wartime policies toward enslaved people escaping to Union lines. In Lunnard's view, Butler reform politics began as a practical defense of people with few institutional protections. Thirdly, Civil War command as a laboratory for emancipation policy. Butler's military career is a central part of the biography because it shows how a civilian lawyer used command authority in politically innovative ways. At Fort Monroe, Virginia, he responded to self-emancipated enslaved people who reached Union lines by treating them as contraband of war rather than returning them to enslavers. This legal reasoning did not end slavery by itself, but it gave the Union a workable policy at a moment when federal leaders were still moving cautiously. Lunnard presents this episode as evidence of Butler's ability to improvise within legal and military constraints. His later administration of occupied New Orleans made him infamous, especially among Confederates and their sympathizers, but the biography treats that period as more than scandal. It examines how occupation required decisions about public order, loyalty, racial authority, commerce, and the meaning of Union power in a slaveholding society. Butler was not a great battlefield commander in the conventional sense. His importance lay in how he made military governance part of the broader transformation of war aims. Fourthly, Reconstruction activism for Black rights, women's suffrage, and economic reform. Lunnard follows Butler beyond the war to show that his significance did not end with military service. In Congress of Massachusetts politics, he remained involved in struggles over the meaning of Reconstruction and the responsibilities of the federal government. The biography highlights his support for Black civil and political rights, his interest in women's suffrage, and his continued attention to labor and economic questions. These commitments place him within a broader 19th century reform world, but Butler was unusual because he pursued them through a combative, pragmatic, and sometimes opportunistic political style. Lunnard also notes his interest in monetary policy, including support for paper money over strict reliance on gold. as part of a wider concern with how economic systems favored certain classes. This dimension prevents the book from reducing Reconstruction to race alone, while still treating racial justice as central. Butler appears as a politician who saw social power, labor, citizenship, and money as connected arenas in which public policy could either reinforce hierarchy or challenge it. Lastly, a biography built around contradiction rather than simplification. One of the most important features of Leonard's book is its refusal to make Butler easy. She presents him as ambitious, noisy, brave, irritating, humorous, affectionate, and often difficult to categorize. That complexity is not decorative. It is the method of the biography. Butler's public career crossed law, business, military administration, congressional politics, party conflict, and reform activism. And Leonard treats those spheres as mutually reinforcing, rather than separate chapters of a resume. The result is a portrait of a man whose personality could advance reform by forcing issues into public view, but could also create distrust and backlash. The book has been praised for research and balance, though some readers may find the detail dense because Leonard works carefully through a long and controversial career. That density is part of the scholarly value. It allows the biography to show how individual character interacts with institutions, crises, and public memory. Butler becomes neither saint nor villain, but a test case for how democratic societies remember disruptive reformers. In conclusion, Benjamin Franklin Butler, A Noisy, Fearless Life is best suited for readers interested in Civil War politics, Reconstruction, biography, legal history, and the evolution of 19th century reform movements. It will especially benefit readers who know Butler mainly through hostile Southern memory or through a narrow focus on his military controversies. Leonard provides the intellectual benefit of slowing down judgment. She shows how one public figure could be opportunistic and principled, abrasive and effective, personally ambitious and genuinely committed to people denied power. The practical value of the book lies in its model of historical reassessment. It demonstrates how reputations are built, who benefits from particular reputations, and why archival context can change the moral shape of a life. Compared with many Civil War biographies that focus mainly on battlefield performance, this book stands out by integrating law, labor, emancipation policy, occupation governance, Reconstruction rights, and monetary politics. Compared with simpler vindications of misunderstood figures, it is stronger because it leaves the contradictions in place. Leonard gives readers a Butler who is not merely a victim of caricature, but a disruptive actor whose flaws and achievements both mattered. If you would like to support Elizabeth D. Leonard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.